Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, welcome to Talking Buffalo Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Patrick Moran. Yeah, you know, I'm so sick of saying the same thing every week. Joe, how many times? Joe Yearn, of course, I'm talking about Casual Friday. I probably, what, once every month, every 6 weeks, I complain about how I never have any kind of catchy opening and it's boring. I never have anything interesting to say right here at the top.
You're either saying that or you're like, man, we need better music to start off. We got to get different music. We got to shake things up. We got to get crazy with this. No, music's great. It gets me in like a 90s vibe. It's perfect.
Yeah, I have Aaron on, and we've done a mock draft series for the Bills, and he likes the music. I think it's his favorite part of doing the podcast is the opening. So, Joe, I sent the link to Joe to get to tape this, and I was messing around with TikTok, so he made fun of me already for doing that. But he's still hoping Vine comes back. So
yeah,
back at you, man.
R.I.P. Vine, man. Vine was so fun. It was just so stupid, and it really allowed people to
get
creative. You know, TikTok is just a lot of like lip syncing and dance. You know, dancing stuff's created. That's cool, but I don't know. Some of the rest of it, I'm just kind of like, whatever. It's fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not totally crapping on TikTok. There's a lot of really funny stuff out there, but
there is.
I just miss Vine.
It's addicting. All. I can't put it on. Like if I go to bed and I open up my TikTok app, it's guaranteed 60 to 90 minutes less sleep that I'm getting at night. By the way, man, if you're watching this on video, you like my cup? Can you see it?
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's I do like that. It's like Jack Daniels, but Buffalo.
Yeah.
Is there Jack Daniels in the mug, though?
No, there's not. Actually, there's not coffee, though, either. Actually, I have some soda, even though I'm not supposed to be drinking soda anymore. But
I mean, you know, there's lots of stuff we're not supposed to do that we do anyways,
exactly.
Right? You know?
What does it matter at this point? But yeah, man, I'm repping Buffalo, even though I'm so sick of this weather, dude. We're taping this Thursday. Is it ever going to be nice again? And it's not just me. It's not just me, by the way. I know I've been complaining forever. I went on Twitter this morning. We're taping this Thursday for our Casual Friday drop, and people are bitching about the same stuff. It's freaking April 21st, dude. And even when it does get to be like 50, it's got to be rain and wind. There's always a hitch, and it makes it feel like it's in the 30s anyway. It's like, when is it going to be nice out again? This has got to be one of the worst. Again, I shouldn't speak too much on it because I've been gone for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear other people speaking on. They're saying this is one of the worst winter transitions into spring that they can remember. You with that?
Yeah, I mean listen, it hasn't been warm. If you're watching, if anybody watches the video, this you see me looking around for my notebook to see the results of our month draft to see where you drafted April, just so I could dangle that over your head once again of that thrashing I gave you with that one. But it's funny seeing people complain about like how crappy it's been. You know, it's rainy, it's cold, we had some snow, and like even people that are avid spring defenders that are just like, no, spring rules, fall stinks, I hate fall, blah blah blah, they're like, yeah, so spring, right, where's spring? Maybe May will be better. It's like, I don't know, man, it's Buffalo, it's Northeast. May might not be better. Maybe June will be good. Who knows? I mean, it's funny the way it works out, man. Like, it's just, I mean, you just never know.
You sent me into research mode real quick when you brought that up. So everyone knows, if you listen to the show anyway, you watch the show, you know, every casual Friday, Joe and I do a starting five draft, including we'll have one today as well, where we pick a topic. Usually it's pop culture stuff, and we draft a roster of five, and then we put it on Twitter, and people over the weekend vote for their favorite. And we did do a favorite months of the year draft, and I'm looking it up now, thanks to Twitter, in August 6, 2021. So this was last year. And by the way, I mean, we had to take 10, and there was only 12 options. So right. I did draft April. I regret it.
Where did you draft it? How soon? How
super late was it? It was my last pick. It was my last pick.
I'll give you credit for that, at least. You were kind of, it was like April, February, or March, I think.
That was one of those polls where you crushed me, man. Let's see. Yeah, you won 80 to 20. You took September, June, October, May, November. I took July, December, March, August, and April. Yeah, March is sucked and April sucks.
God.
So I did deserve that. I deserved the ass whooping that I got, man. There's a... There's no question about it, man. But whatever.
It's a tough one. But like, hey, I mean, I don't know. I saw Brian Koziol complaining that he hasn't been able to go out and play golf, and it's just like,
man. Nate Geary too.
Oh well, Geary. I don't want to hear it from Geary, man. Geary flies to like Florida for like a couple weeks at a time, and he's playing a ton of golf down there. I don't want to hear it, dude. Like, I get it. Like, you don't want to have to fly to Florida to play golf, but dude, like, you're still playing more than, like, you know, 95% of the people around here.
Before we get into a little bit of Bills and Sabres stuff today, and again, do our 35, I do want to ask, because all right, so you got over 20,000 followers on Twitter. Yeah. You've made a nice name for yourself, especially in the Buffalo market. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure along the ways, over the years, you've probably had some trolls and some idiots at you. And I'm sure we could probably have a whole podcast full of these stories. I'm asking this for a reason, though, because we're talking about our good boy, our good buddy, Nate Geary. Somebody on Twitter has been trolling him all week. And I shouldn't laugh, but I can't help it. This dude, Steve Salerno, whatever, he blocked me, and I didn't even interact with him. But anyway, this guy is taking it to levels where it's one thing to impersonate somebody else. He created, I don't know all the details. God, I wish I could pull it up right now and share the screen. But this dude went as far to create a fake Nate Geary football camp. Nate Geary has his own football camp because he thinks he knows so much about football. You know, he played in high school and stuff like that.
Right.
But this guy's fucking with him to the point where he created. And again, I shouldn't be laughing at trolls, because all in all, it's kind of ridiculous. So some of these people are obsessive in it. And then it's not funny anymore. But this dude created a fake Nate Geary football camp.
Now, see, I knew, like, I saw some of Nate serving justice back at him with his apparently him being a creep.
Yeah, like beyond
being a total weirdo. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I shouldn't laugh. I can't.
That part's gross. I didn't understand the football camp part of the whole thing, because I thought it was just like somebody played it. You know, somebody made a goof up, like a graphic or something like that. And I was like, whatever. I didn't understand it was a whole Twitter account saying that it was the Nate Geary football camp. I didn't know that was what it was. Cause that's way funnier. That's way funnier and extremely internet. Oh man. That's even better.
Nate Geary football camp. I love Nate. I think that shit's hilarious, but I probably shouldn't. I kind of feel like I'm inviting people out there to make good trolls. Yeah. And
no, please don't. Well, make a good troll account. Don't make a crappy.
Right.
One.
At least
like,
be good.
Make it funny. Don't make it hurtful or insulting. Just, you know, be funny about it. Like, being funny is the best part.
Sure. At this point of the year, dude, it's like, especially Bills and Sabres fans, we're kind of, and I'm in this, but I'm kind of transitioning a little bit here into some draft stuff. I think we're just so tired of everything else. This season feels so long. I'm talking about draft season, mm-hmm. with mock drafts and stuff like that. And of course, if you cover the Bills, if you talk about the Bills, you're on Twitter all the time, you know, talking about what you think is going to happen and talking about this guy and that guy and the other guy. It's been going on for weeks now. And at some point, I think we get fatigued talking about it. And I think to some extent, I think fans probably have had enough reading about it, because it's tough. Look, Joe, at the end of the day, and I'm sure you understand this too, We could have, like, I've had Aaron Quinn on for five straight weeks, and we've done a Bills mock draft, and I think it's been a fun exercise every time. I've learned a lot about players. We kind of go over a bunch of scenarios, what could happen, what, you know, something that might happen that we don't expect, stuff like that. You try to cover every angle, but at the end of the day, it's impossible. We have no earthly idea what the Buffalo Bills are going to do. That's what it comes down to. When it's about, you know, guys you might cut or free agents that they might go after, positions, you kind of have a good idea. But when it comes to the draft, if you're not in that room, you're not in that inner circle of the Buffalo Bills or any team in the NFL for that matter, you just, you don't know what's going on. And it kind of gets, I don't know, I kind of reached the point of exhaustion when it comes to talking about the draft and just trying to figure out what I think the Bills are going to do. When in reality, we don't know shit, dude. We don't.
Yeah. How much of that is because the draft talk starts 5 seconds after the Super Bowl's over?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, the first mock drafts from everybody comes out. I mean, well, I mean, everybody's, a lot of people are doing them throughout, you know, throughout the playoffs as, you know, as teams get slotted in.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, once your team's out, you're just like, okay, you know, what's next? It's the draft. You know, it's part of the whole NFL dominate the news cycle 24/7, 365. Like that's, you know, that's the part that's why they moved it to later in April, because they wanted to get it after OTAs and you know, have it all staggered out, so you're talking football nonstop.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
It works.
Don't get me wrong. That is, they've figured it out, man. Like they got the NFL's the perfect, you know, media sport. You know, as far as just everything. You know, they get the best ratings. You know, it's one game a week. Like you don't have to hold anybody's attention for like multiple games a week.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's perfect. But like the draft stuff, man, like if you don't have anything to occupy your time otherwise, like you are spinning your wheels trying to figure out what you're going to do. Unless your team is like, what, top five, top 10, even top 10, you probably don't have a good idea. Top five, that's probably about, you know, you're just kind of like, all right, are they going to take this guy or this guy? Like, that's it. You know, you're not, if they go off the board beyond that, you're just like, what are they doing? What's the matter? Then that's a whole other thing. But
it's hard when your team's good, especially, which is something the Bills until the last couple of years, I'm really used to. We're used to talking about top 10 guys, you know, so we'd be studying the top of the board. I haven't spent 5 seconds thinking about the first 10 to 15 prospects because I'm like, there ain't no way in hell the Bills are going to be drafting them because they pick, you know, 25th. And I will say, I really shouldn't complain because I'll tell you this right now, and I'm sure most people out there, especially if you create football content, this is the busiest time of the year for a lot of podcasts and a lot of, newspapers and outlets, because again, it's a mystery. Everybody's trying to find out a little bit of nugget of information because in reality, none of us really know. And I, again, this draft is, if you're listening to this on Friday, it's less than a week away now. And I don't know what the cornerback just seems so obvious, but, and I've said this, Brandon Bean's history with that position does not equate to the Bills spending the first round pick on a cornerback, unless a great one falls there. They don't take, they like to develop and draft corners. Dane Jackson was a 7th round pick. Levi Wallace wasn't even drafted. And those guys have been the CB2 for the last 4 or 5 years now, you know, and the veterans that they've signed have not been big money guys. They've been guys like Vontae Davis and EJ Gaines and Josh Norman, you know, inexpensive stopgap veterans. I don't know that they're going to use that first pick on corner. I could easily see them taking a wide receiver, maybe a guard, because I don't think Brandon Bean, we look at the team right now and we're like, all right, what does this team need right now that's going to make them get over the hump? I don't think that comes in the draft. I think the draft is going to be, let's get a guy at the top, and it's, the draft is 7 rounds, so it's not just one guy, but let's get a guy, you know, our first 2 picks maybe, that are, it's not just about this year, it's about setting ourselves up financially for the next couple years. You know, we might lose a guy at this position, and so let's fill it now and develop this guy now so he's ready and we don't have to pay this guy. It could happen with Tremaine Edmonds, so they could take a linebacker early, even though they don't need one right now. They could take a guard early because Roger Saffold's only here for 1 year. Even though they don't need one necessarily right now. Even safety, Jordan Poyer, who knows if he's going to be around after this year. That shit might get ugly, by the way.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, too.
Yeah.
So, You know, safety's on the table. That's what I'm saying. Like, positions where you're like, well, they don't need a linebacker. They don't need a safety. They don't need a receiver. Well, I think, maybe not today, but soon enough they will. And that's what you draft for.
I think this is like something where if you're not drafting for need, you're drafting for future help. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get – you want to kind of avoid the positions where the cost for those guys immediately goes up. You know, almost right away after that first contract's over. Like, if you find an elite receiver or an elite corner right away, that that price tag is big. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, you know, it's a pass first, second, and third league. So if you find like an exceptional receiver, you know, which I mean, hey, you know, last what, 4, 5, 6 drafts, the entire first round has been filled with great receivers going all the way down, you know, through, you know, 1 through 31, 32. So, you know, it's possible to find guys like that, but trying to get a handle on them and keep them around can get a little bit tricky. You know, I mean, I'll look at Stephon Diggs, man. Like, that's, you know, that Vikings had him, but like, they couldn't figure their stuff out, and Diggs became great and they thought he was a problem. Oh, okay. Enjoy mediocrity, Minnesota. But, you know, but like, it's those positions, those high skill positions where you know, it might be an immediate help, but like, if that's not an immediate need, I don't know. It's kind of a luxury. It's a luxury item at that point, which I mean, hey, listen, in the Bills position, that's a great thing to find because, you know, we know that their salary, you know, situation, whether, you know, the whole caps of myth thing, whatever aside, you know, this, the fact is you're paying Allen 40 plus million a year. It's a big chunk of your cap. So, you know, you got to be wise with how you get your investments elsewhere. So if you get like a top end guy fall in your lap at a position that maybe you don't really need him, just take him. I mean, that's the roundabout way of saying, you know, best player available, but also, you know, just being smart about it. Just if you have a great talent right there, just take him. You know, Bills are already loaded up. Like they don't need to pick out a position and be like, okay, well, at least, you know, we might be able to get some help at this spot. They don't really need help at any spot.
I agree 100%.
Punter? You got to take a punter in first round?
They might draft a punter. Don't be shocked if they draft a punter.
What a great talking point that would become. Like, they're so loaded, they took a punter in the first round.
There's actually a punter this year who, Matt Areza, who might go in the first, he might go in round 3 or 4, which is abnormally crazy. Yeah. For a punter, but they might draft one. To your point, and by the way, I agree 100%. I still think wide receiver is in play for some of the reasons that you said when it comes to money, because you look at it this way. So they just gave Stephon Diggs big money. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Davis is becoming a star receiver right now, right? He's 3 years in, or he's going into his third year. He's got 2 more years. If he keeps playing the way he came on last year, you're talking big money. Mm-hmm. Jameson Crowder, they signed as a stopgap for 1 year. If you take a receiver now and say in the first round, you get that guy on a rookie contract for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Again, you're good with Diggs now. You're going to have to pay Gabe Davis. If you want to restock the receiver cupboard, you're not going to be able to do it. Like Deebo Samuel, for an example, there's rumors of him, you know, wanting to get traded, not rumors. He's reportedly has asked for a trade. And I'm like a lot of people, you know, when you, like, for an example, Joe's a Lions fan. So I'm sure you think about him on your team and what he would bring to the table, which is a lot. Yeah. Any team. But I'm like, nah, the Bills ain't going to trade for Deebo Samuel, because not just what it would cost compensation wise, probably a first and then something else. But also, if you were to trade for Deebo Samuel, well, you could kiss Gabe Davis goodbye after this year, or in 2 years, I should say, because there's no way you're going to be able to sign him. So what do? You try to find the next Deebo Samuel-type player in the draft where you can get him on a rookie contract for 3 or 4 years. That's the thing about being a good team, which, by the way, finding Deebo Samuels, they don't grow on trees. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, a very ambitious thing to try to do. But my point is, when you're drafted 25th and you have a team like the Bills with no real holes, because they don't have any real holes, you could argue maybe CB2, aside of Trey White, who still has to come back from his ACL with Dane Jackson. But Dane Jackson did all right last year. Don't get me wrong. I think they want to, and I think they will upgrade that. But There's no like, oh my God, they need to get a running back or they need to get an offensive tackle or defensive end real bad in this draft. So when you have a team like Buffalo, that's what makes it so hard to kind of come up with what you think the Bills are going to do, because they can go so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Now, your boys, the Lions, it's got a clear cut, especially when you're picking second. There's two defensive ends that are, you know, vying neck and neck for who's going to be the top pick. Detroit would be idiotic to not take whichever one doesn't go number one.
Right.
Not so clear cut in Buffalo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, it's a nice problem to have if you're the Bills. I mean, that's,
sure.
You know,
for sure.
You don't want to be going into a draft sweating out and saying like, geez, I hope this guy falls to us. Like in this case, if the guy that they've eyeballed slips that, you know, doesn't slip down to him. Okay. You've got, you know, four or five other, you know, players areas you could address. Like that's a great position to be in. It's a product of putting together a good team. You know, you don't have to sweat these things out. You know, I mean, part of me thinks that maybe O-line is a safe way to go about it. Cause I mean, they lucked out pretty hard with Spencer Brown. Like they lucked out pretty hard that he's turned into a pretty, well, at least based on one season, he's a pretty good offensive tackle.
Looks like he's got a good future. Good future as a starter. I agree 100%. Good point.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, I mean, if you have you can't draft for worry either, but like just for safety purposes, just to be like, hey, you know, if bad things happen and, you know, injuries happen, which the Bills have been very fortunate to avoid. Very fortunate to avoid, you know, at least
except for Trey, but yeah.
Right. But they've been able to steer away from that. Offensive line is one area where if they lose somebody important for a long stretch, that's a big problem.
I agree. Yeah. And especially, you know what, not even just tackle, but guard too.
Yeah.
I mean, Bates only had five starts and they gave him a 4-year contract. And Roger Saffold is a good player, but he's 33. Mm-hmm. He's only here for 1 year. And I'll tell you, if you put a gun to my head right now and I had to guess who the Bills would take in the first round, I would not be surprised if guard actually turned out to be the pick. And I wouldn't be mad about it either. It ain't sexy. Mm-hmm. It's not a flashy running back or a highly skilled receiver or even a shutdown corner. But keep that line really good in front of Josh Allen. That's got to be, you know, one of the biggest priorities for the Bills. And by the way, before we jump into some Saber stuff, I do want to mention, so voluntary workouts are going on this week. Like I said, no Jordan Poyer. I ain't reading into that shit, though. These guys are in shape. They're fine. He wants a new contract. I'm not going to say I don't have any concerns about that, because I do. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it plays out. But anyway, so a lot of players talked to the media yesterday, and as well as Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Pretty, for the most part, vanilla stuff. I will say, though, Von Miller, he spoke, and I don't know if you had a chance to hear any of the sound bites in the clips, but I will say one thing that I did find interesting was Von Miller, when speaking to the media, I like the fact that he was pretty honest, because he was kind of asked about what it's been like in Buffalo so far. And his answer was, I'm trying to make sure I say this the right way too. He sounded like he was still torn about his decision, even after signing, to some extent. Like even saying, I can't believe, it sounds like he himself was very surprised that he ended up choosing Buffalo over Los Angeles, because he's talking about how much he loves Los Angeles and winning his Super Bowl and Sean McVay and Aaron Donald and how nice it is in LA. It's like paradise, and coming to Buffalo. It's like he's not criticizing Buffalo, and I know he's happy to be here. And he talked about the facilities and how good this team is. And he talked about Ed Oliver, you know, and Stefan and Josh and all that stuff. He's happy to be here. That's not what I'm suggesting that he was saying that he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But you could tell that he was admittedly still had some kind of surprise. He was surprised a little bit himself that he ultimately chose Buffalo. And just, I don't know, man, when I see so many of these athletes have these pressers and it's just so bland and vanilla, it's kind of refreshing to hear him speak kind of canon. And honestly, it's like, I'm still kind of torn, you know, between the Buffalo LA thing. And I'm a little bit surprised that I did choose Buffalo. And again, he didn't criticize Buffalo, so don't put any words in my mouth if you're listening to this. It was interesting to me that he was kind of candid about his feelings about LA. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
I, you know, I think I look at it from his position. He's leaving a team that just won the Super Bowl, can win it again next year, could maybe win it again the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty bold move on his part to be like, you know what, I'm going to go elsewhere. You know, I'm going to see if I can go win a title there, kind of pull a Charles Haley kind of thing where, you know, Haley was able to go from like what the Cowboys to the Niners, or Niners to the Cowboys, and just keep winning Super Bowls. But
yeah, he won like five. I think he won five Super Bowls or something.
Yeah, it's like just an insane career for great talent. And Von Miller's a great talent too. But I don't know if it's a challenge. It's not really a challenge thing. Let's be serious here. The Bills are one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
They are the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now in Vegas anyway.
Yeah.
There's a history aspect to it, Joe, too, as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not lost, because if he does win a Super Bowl and he plays in the Super Bowl, he'd be the first player in NFL history to ever play and win a Super Bowl for three different teams. Matt Millen did it, but he didn't play for three teams.
Yeah.
Von Miller would be the first to actually. I know your boy, Millen. Former Detroit GM, great. But anyway, he would be the first person in the history of the NFL to play on three Super Bowl winning teams as a player. That would be that's not lost. Plus the money ain't lost.
Yeah.
I got a sense if all things were equal, like the money was dead equal, he'd still be in LA. And I respect that. That's okay. You know, I'm not mad at him over it, but,
I don't know. It's nice to be able to like pick from Super Bowl favorites, though, you know, where it's just kind of like, am I going to stay here where I already won it, or go someplace else where I could win it again? Like,
well, he wasn't going to Detroit.
No. I would question his sanity if he was just like, you know what, I was really feeling the Lions. Like, why were you feeling
they're on the come?
Why? Like, why? It's, yeah. All right, I'm going to Jacksonville. They've got a lot of, like, what do they give you, $400 million? Like, because then I understand. But I mean, geez, like, they're, you know, it's, you know, it's a luxury thing. I mean, it's not going to come without challenges. I mean, Kansas City's still sitting right there. And, you know, like that, you know, they're
AFC's loaded.
AFC's disgustingly loaded. And but by the way, this whole Debo Samuel thing, I know everybody in Buffalo kind of loved that Tyreek Hill got traded to Miami. What if Debo Samuel goes to Kansas City? What if that happens? Because it very well could. That's a possibility.
The first I heard people saying, oh, great, another great NFL or NFC player is going to end up in the AFC, just like Devontae Adams. I'm like, well, probably, because Frisco ain't, put it this way, Green Bay needs a receiver. You think San Francisco is going to trade him to Green Bay?
No.
Hell no.
No.
Why would they do that? They're not going to. They're pretty much all right, we don't think we could beat you if we're giving you Debo
Samuel.
I'd be
mad forever at them if they did that. Screw the Packers,
man. I think he can end up with the Jets. Don't be surprised if he ends up with the Jets. The Jets, they're still not good, but they got good young players, and they were in fully on Tyreek Hill. So, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Yeah,
that's a whole fascinating. Plus, Debo tweeted yesterday. He's like, these reporters don't know what they're talking about. I'm like, okay. All right, man. Like, sure thing, dude. Like, you know, when we see you get traded in a week, we'll be like, okay, what happened then?
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to come right back on the other side and talk some Sabres, because unlike this where we don't know what the hell is going on, I think we're starting to get an idea of what we got with the Buffalo Sabres, which is pretty damn cool. All right, so be right back. 30 seconds.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, I'm back with Joe Yurden. And by the way, for everybody listening or watching, next, I'm already looking forward to the next Thursday show. We'll be on taping live right after the NFL draft, which is going to be late night Thursday. So between that, the Sabres have their second last game of the season going into their final game the next night. So there's going to be a shitload to talk about next week. That'll be fun. So the Buffalo Sabres, you know, we haven't even mentioned this name once, probably in 3 months, maybe, which is kind of funny because if we go back to last summer and the early fall, I feel like if I would have mentioned the name Shane Wright, that's all we would have been talking about. Probably for the next, I remember at some
pain
point,
for Shane.
Yeah, that's what was it? Down the drain for Shane.
Drain for Shane. Pain for Shane. Shame for Shane.
Yeah. Shame for Shane. there was just so many reasons it felt like that, not necessarily to tank, but hey, the Sabres will be dead at the bottom of the of the standings. And this was a year, unlike last year, where I mean Owen Power ended up being the number one pick. But if you remember, it wasn't quite 100% cut and dry the entire process that it was going to be Owen Power that was gonna be the top pick. It wasn't necessarily a lock, a slam dunk, whereas this year that is the case. And look, I'm happy the way they say, trust me when I tell you this. I'm very happy with the Buffalo Sabres right now, okay? I like how they're playing. I like that they're winning games. It makes me very happy. They're improved. That said, Joe, there are 4 games left, and standings mean nothing. But right now, they're in 25th place in the NHL, okay? That gives them the 8th best lottery odds. Mm-hmm. Let's just, for the sake of it, for the fun of it, let's just have a little bit of fun here for a minute on Casual Friday. And because, again, there's only going to be 7 teams that have, or as things stand right now, at least anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That might change in over the last week. But as of right now, there's only 7 teams that have a better chance of winning this lottery than Buffalo. Just imagine you improve, you play well, you get Rasmus Dahlin becomes a star, Tage Thompson becomes a star, Owen Power's here. A lot of these young guys are playing better. Kyle Okposo has found the founder of the youth. And you win the lottery, and now you got Shane Wright coming too. God damn, how sweet would that be, man? Woo.
Yeah, the national perspective on the Sabres would change really, really fast because the whole like, you know, they're the Oilers East, Oilers are the Oilers, like that whole thing because they just keep winning lotteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't become, you know, cozy, fun, fan favorite team, you know, around the world because now it's like, boy, you guys got 3 like number one picks. Figure your shit out. Like you can't be bad like that. Something that Lance and I talked about on maintenance day, we brought it up a few weeks back and then I brought it up again this past week, but the weight of expectations, like this team, the whole year has had 0 expectations, which makes it very easy to get over the bar. And they have, and they've done it, you know, they've been outstanding at doing that because they've had a lot of growth, some guys really busting out. That's awesome. But next year, people are already thinking playoffs, you know, like that discussion's already had. People are talking about this team being a playoff team this year if they had the goaltending, which, you know, unless they had Dominik Hasek in his prime, they weren't, this wasn't a playoff team. But this is, you know, that's where the perspective changes next season. You know, like it wasn't very long ago this team just had like a 4 or 5 game losing streak. You have one of those when you've got expectations, one of those like this time of year.
Yeah.
People get sour real quick. You lose 2 in a row, people get sour. Even 4 or 5, forget it. I mean, we saw that already. We've seen that already with you know, with Jack and Sam here before. Like that, you know, the expectation for them was just like, at some point they're going to break out. This is going to be a playoff team. And it was that way for 5-6 years. So, you know, this team's, they got a cozy ride right now. You know, which is great because it builds up the positive feelings for the future, because it gets very difficult next year because, you know, the expectation for Granato, for Adams and the entire team is that you're going to be in contention for a playoff spot. I mean, provided you get a goaltender and, you know, the team continues to grow upward, people are thinking postseason already. That's where the difference is, because if they come up short of that, and if they come up, if they're in the hunt, that's great, because I think that's where the expectation is. People have seen how hard the East was this year. The East playoff field was set in December, for crying out loud. I mean, like that, the fact that the Sabres started off so terribly, you start off bad, you're fighting against it anyways, but like, sure, they started off really bad. They were buried from the get go. The East playoff field being as set as it was means that it's a really hard fight. You know, even the teams at the bottom end of the playoffs, like Washington, we've still seen Buffalo play Washington and still have issues with them. You know, the difference between the playoff teams and the non-playoff teams is very drastic. Now, granted, Buffalo's played very well against some of those teams lately, but there are still huge differences. That's why they're playing Boston very soon. I'm going to be very curious to see how they match up with the Bruins, because the Bruins give them fits constantly. So that's one where I want to see the last four games that they've got. I want to see that game. I want to see how that one turns out, because that's the most interesting one for me. Never mind. I mean, the Chicago game is interesting just because it's RJ's last game. That's it. I don't care about Kane coming back down. I don't care that people want Kane on this team, you know, to end his career. I don't care about any of that crap, but this is, if the ping pong balls fall in their favor again, man, people are going to be like, all right, you got to make the playoffs now. Outside of Buffalo, I think even inside Buffalo, you get a Shane Wright, people are like, all right, no excuses. You got to make the playoffs now. Like you have zero excuse. But like, if you do that, you have luxury, and then you can maybe move somebody that you're like, hey, we can move forward this guy and say, hey, wait a minute, we can make our team better if we can move this guy. So, but you don't want to throw off the vibes, you want to throw off the chemistry, all that stuff. But like, it's again, that's a nice problem to have if that ends up being the case. Even still, like, they're not going to get a bad guy if they still had to pick an eighth, or, you know, they could pick anywhere from like, what, eighth to 11th, I think it is. They're still going to get a great player. It's just, it's not, you know, Shane Wright will play in the NHL next season. That's the difference.
Right. And yeah, even if they got three first round picks, none of them see the NHL next year, which is probably going to happen if it's not Shane Wright. That's fine. I still say the expectation, to your point, which I agree with fully, is it is going to be higher. You take a guy like Tage Thompson, all right? It's been fun this year. What a great story, by the way. I mean, the guy has 15 goals in 104 games with the Sabres coming into the season, two full seasons, and I think he played one game in a third season. So he's only had 15 goals coming into the season, and now he's at 36 with four to go, including a game. By the way, the Sabres are playing tonight, so hopefully there's nothing crazy that happens and no injury that we didn't, you know, cover on this taping today. But anyway, coming into Thursday night's game, he's tied Jack Eichel's career best with Buffalo, right? It's been a fun-ass story, and he's been a joy to watch this year. And then you take Rasmus Dahlin, who became an all-star player this year, the first Sabre defenseman with 50 points since Gary Galley, like, what, 25, 26 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's an all-star. Yeah. This has been fun. That said, to your point, come next year, now, I expect Rasmus Dahlin to be an all-star.
Yeah.
I expect Tage Thompson to be a good number one center who's going to score 30 to 40 goals the next year. So the expectation, when you do it, the expectation is going to, it's going to rise 100%. It's been a fun, I don't want to say Cinderella story, because this is a team that's in fucking 25th place. All right. So let's not get too crazy here. They're fun to watch. They're entertaining. They're improved in the standings, and they're still only 25th. But that said, come next year, and especially to your point, especially if they can, get a better goaltender to go with UPL for next year, and we see what we have with him. But yeah, playoff contention with or without Shane Wright, to me, it should be the bar next year. And I'm not talking like, 15 points out playoff, fringe playoff contention. I'm talking about it's St. Patrick's Day. It's the end of March. It's early April. games that matter. Like this, you know, somebody's Pittsburgh's coming to town. This could be a 4-point swing. You know, those type of games that matter. I feel like that's going to be, and it should be, the expectation next year.
Yeah, it's gonna be, whether you know whether you want it to be or not. That that expectation is gonna be there regardless of, you know, where they end up picking in the draft. You know, that doesn't matter. But it's, you know, the Tage thing is gonna be fascinating to see, because there's a lot of things he's doing very different this year with his shot. And you know, obviously his position, he's, you know, playing at center and he's doing things different there. You know, he's stopped, you know, toe dragging constantly and trying to, you know, dangle guys out of their skates. He's cut out a lot of that stuff because he kind of had to. You know, you're playing in a different position, you're playing in the middle of the ice. You can't, you know, just fiddle around with the puck and expect to get loose. But it's if this is the turning point season for his career, like if this is what he is from now on, it's such a stark difference from those first three seasons, you know, his first year with St. Louis and then, you know, the next three with Buffalo. I mean, I pulled together his stats. Like, he's got, you know, before, you know, Thursday night's game anyways, you know, we know about the goals. He's got more goals than he had in those games. But the funny part is that he's going to wind up taking more shots this season than he did in his first three seasons. Like, that's crazy. That's wild. I mean, he's up to 241 shots right now. He had 259 in his first three seasons. That's 145 games, Pat.
That's nuts.
Like, that's crazy. And, you know, he didn't shoot for a very high percentage. This year he's shooting almost 15%. That's where I think you kind of have to be like, all right, if that's the new norm, that's great. But if what he did before is closer to normal, that's the stats say that next year could be a little bit tougher. But, you know, but listen, I mean, if he shoots at the same, you know, the cumulative rate, if he shoots like 10%, like his average right now because of the season's like 10% for his career, that's still like a 25-30 goal scorer every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that. Thank you very much. Like, you know, because, you know, again, like, was he supposed to be the number one center? No. Is he now? Yeah. But, you know, what's stopping Dylan Cousins from being that in the future? What's stopping Peyton Krebs from being that in the future? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. They're still stupid young. Like, that's the fun part. You know, Casey Mittelstadt, I mean, who knows? You know, if he can bust out, that dude just keeps plugging at it and keeps getting better every year. So, like, you know, good for him. He hasn't, like, given up on things. You know, if he gave up the way the fans gave up on him, he'd have been done 2 years ago. Like, you know, same thing for Tage, though. Like, these guys don't give up. They don't stop working at it. And, you know, it's, you know, I think a big credit to that goes to what they've got in place now, because those guys work with them at it, as opposed to, you know, punishing them for, you know, not back checking or not doing this, or, you know, playing poorly with two guys that shouldn't be in the NHL. Like, that kind of stuff doesn't really happen now.
I'm almost embarrassed at how much I've used to make fun of Tage Thompson being part of that trade for Ryan O'Reilly. It's almost at this point, embarrassing. We'll talk more Sabres next week. Again, it'll be their second last game. And I look forward to the offseason. And like I said, draft with the NFL fills a lot of content. So does hockey. I'm looking forward when you and Lance have maintenance day, and, you know, when the season's over and you have no choice but to turn your attention towards the draft when it comes to the Sabres. I'll be looking forward to that content. But, you know, it's funny. So, well, it ain't funny at all, actually. We talked NFL draft. We talked Shane Wright. Little NHL draft. Let's talk our starting five draft every week. And it's not funny, man.
Listen. It's not funny. You were doing a victory lap for pulling a rabbit out of your hat with that insane 80s sitcom.
90s.
90s
sitcom. I won the 90s. Guess what? I did not
win. You did not win the 80s. I came for blood, my friend.
Last week we did 80s sitcoms. I'm not proud of this. Joe won with 86% of the votes, and I pulled 14. Let me recap what we picked last week. So Joe, who had the first pick, he took Cheers, The Golden Girls, Night Court, Taxi, Growing Pains. I took Family Ties, The Cosby Show, Who's the Boss, Different Strokes, and New Heart. I'm embarrassed. You know why I'm embarrassed? I'm embarrassed because I fancy myself an 80s expert. Like, I'm all things 80s. I'm still all about the 80s. I listen to 80s music. I watch the 80s TV shows, 80s movies, pop culture, stuff like that. And then getting handed an 86 to 14 ass whipping is disgraceful. And by the way, so we've done, God, I don't have it in front of me. We've done a lot of these. This is the second biggest blowout in the history of our polls. The second biggest blowout ever. The only one that was ever a bigger blowout was, it was only a couple months ago, Christmas time. We did a Christmas songs draft or Christmas movies. No, it was Christmas songs. 89. That's when you pulled 89%. No, it was movies.
Was it movies?
Okay. It was movies. I need to confirm this because now it's going to bother me.
But the point here, though, Pat, is that stuff that you love, I crap on your heart about it, like instantaneously. I Shaq dunk all over you with stuff that you like. Cause I ruined Christmas for you single-handedly.
By
destroying you at every single Christmas.
5 years I was gone. 5 years I waited to come back to fucking Buffalo for snow and, you know, feeling festive and authentic Christmas. And in 2 weeks, you ruined my Christmas, which, by the way, it was Christmas movies. You had 89% to my 11. And you also killed me in Christmas songs, too. That was 80 to 20. That was an 80 to 20. So what a fucking terrible Christmas for me. But anyway,
great.
This super category, Christmas. There's nothing I could have done that would have won. But I will say the big mistake I made that probably cost me some points for sure was taking the Cosby Show instead of the Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and then I got the typical comments that somebody asked me if you had the first three picks because Night Court was a steal. And I told you, by the way, at the time, I said, as soon as you picked them, I said, Night Court, that's a steal. Mm-hmm. And it was. But many people were asking if you had the first three picks of the draft.
Some people were asking if you did any research.
If I traded away future draft picks and future polls so that you could have the first three, shit like that. It was pretty embarrassing. But, let's see if we could do better this week or at least make this relatively close. We did decide, by the way, I made an executive decision. I shouldn't say we. I made this executive decision, but you agreed with me, to be fair. Mm-hmm. We were going to go 90s, 80s, 70s. Then I said, I don't think a lot of people, the 70s isn't going to resonate with that many people who listen to this podcast or just period. The 80s was pushing it for us in terms of stuff that we watched. Yeah. You know, and people who enjoy this podcast, some of them will watch it, but mostly, you know, reruns or they hear about it. 70s, you're getting in the territory, man. The shows are 40 to 50 years old.
Yeah.
I really don't think people are going to have opinions on them, so to speak. And at the end of the day, these polls are fun, but it's also about engagement with our fans, with people who listen and who watch. And we want to hear what you guys think and stuff like that. And interacting with the results in the poll is half the fun of doing this. And I really don't think when you go all the way back to the 70s and you have to come up with 10 TV shows from the 70s, that would have been really hard. I mean, we could have done it. We could have done it.
But like that would have required doing research on like Nickelodeon TV Land, you know, like going like I mean these shows were like on TV Land
right
15 but, years ago.
I mean, there were game changing shows that were added like All in the Family and the Jeffersons and stuff like that that really transcended things and you know kind of changed the game and first started covering controversial topics and stuff like that. And you had Welcome Back, Carl. I mean, we could have came up with enough, but I just felt like it wouldn't resonate. So what I did, and we're not going to do this every week, but what Joe and I came up with is using a famous name or a name and then coming up with famous people who had that name. So this is another sprinkle, something we'll add in from time to time. So this week we're going to draft, our starting five is going to be first name Chris. Pretty self-explanatory, man. Yep. We're going to draft five guys each whose first name is Chris or Christopher or some variation of
Chris. as long as they're known in some version of Chris, like if you've heard that, like Christopher Reeve, I've heard him called Chris Reeve. I'm saying his name because his picture's right in front of me right now on the video. I hopefully I didn't give away a pick here, but But like, you know, you've heard him called Chris sometimes, but like if somebody's got like a name where it's like you've literally never heard them called Chris, then it's like, all right, man, like,
and one
stretching it.
One other thing too, as well, because I always tell, you know, a couple people at work, which again, this is, it's kind of, I enjoy it, even though I get my ass, I don't enjoy getting my ass kicked, but I do enjoy the fact that people listen and they have opinions on these. And even at work, earlier this week, once we knew we were going to do this, somebody said, so what poll are you doing this week? And I said, we're going to do first name Chris. And they go, well, does that include character names? Which it does. So just so you know that. So, you know, if there's a TV actor named Chris, I'm not going to say any names in case one of us decide to,
right.
To, but you know, if there's a TV character whose name is Chris or Christopher or whatever, that would be eligible. So famous people, first name Chris. I'm on the clock first. And I'll tell you, I think we both had a big advantage. I think to some extent now your roster was just flat out better than mine last week.
It was.
But it was an advantage for you to pick chairs first. Oh, just like in the 90s, I think it was kind of deciding when I got to pick Seinfeld first 2 weeks ago. I could be wrong, but in my opinion,
I think you won 2 weeks ago because of TGIF, which blows my mind. But
that's
another thing.
But my point was Seinfeld was a huge advantage because I think he was a clear cut number one, just like Cheers was a clear cut number one. With Chris, I could be wrong, but I'm not sure that there's a clear cut number one. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Well, We'll see how this works. I got first pick, and after thinking, and again, I've had all week to think about it too because I had the first pick, and I knew that I'm going to go with Chris Rock. And let me say this too. I don't give a shit about the Will Smith stuff. Okay. That doesn't have one ounce, one bearing whatsoever.
Not one ounce.
Nothing. Okay. Zero. Chris, I'm taking Chris Rock first overall, not for votes because of what the bullshit with Will Smith. Chris Rock to me is potentially on the Mount Rushmore of my favorite comedians of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, again, the Will Smith shit that's happened recently aside, which I don't give a shit about. This guy has been killing it for years and years and years. He followed the path of Eddie Murphy, you know, one of the greatest comedians, Red Fox, these guys, Richard Pryor. He's balls in that kind of line. He's been a huge success for a long time. I love his talking points. I think he's funny. I think he tells good stories. I don't think he's the greatest actor in the world, but he's been in some movies that have done very well too. Mm-hmm. So again, in a field where I'm not sure that there's a clear cut number one, I'm taking him because again, to me, if you said who are your Mount Rushmore comedians, and I haven't thought about it till it just came out of my mouth right now, but I would strongly, he might be on it. So Chris is the name, and Chris Rock's going to be my first pick. That's going to give you two.
You're saying you're not picking him for the Will Smith thing, but that's surely going to help. Like, I mean, it's fresh in the mind of everybody. So,
yeah,
like, I'm not taking him because of that. It just happens to work out that, you know, that'll.
I'll tell you, though, Joe, honestly, and I would take a lie detector test. You watched Monday Night Raw. You saw Elias pass his lie detector. But anyway, if we did this draft before the Oscars, if we did this exact draft and I had the first pick, Chris Rock would still be my first pick. I swear to God, he would be.
Okay. Well, I mean, I got to take you at your word and I trust you. So not one bit, not as far as I can throw you. So, but you know what? That's fine. That's fine. Hey, as long as you can live with yourself, for it, that's fine. That's fine. I got the next two. So there's considering your latest movie run. I'm very surprised you did not take Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Captain America. I am pretty shocked that was not, you know, right at the forefront of your mind of Chris's, because I saw your rankings. You put Winter Soldier as your number one, at least
so far.
Last time I looked anyways, but
it's now slipped by this much to number two.
Okay.
Right. Avengers Age of Ultron so far. And I've watched 17, by the way. So I got 10 more to go.
Wait. Time out. Age of Ultron's your number one?
Pause the draft, folks. Yeah, by this much, man. It was good.
Ooh.
It was good.
Was it?
Yes. I loved it.
Okay.
Winter Soldier was awesome too, though. But yes, Chris Evans. Okay. put it this way, Chris Evans would be number two on my list. So it's not like he.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. We'll come back to that Ultron thing at some point in the future. But I've been watching a lot of NBA playoffs, and obviously my beautiful, wonderful New Orleans Pelicans are shocking the world by making the playoffs and playing number one Phoenix Suns. And even in the series now, baby, they took home court away against former star of the Hornets. I don't think he made it to New Orleans. I don't think he made it to the Pelicans part of the naming, but Chris Paul.
Okay.
Chris Paul is my next pick, because I very begrudgingly have to say he's one of the best point guards I've ever watched. Like he's an incredible talent.
The
Suns run last year was amazing with him. Like he was just, you know, now that he's like the old vet guy, he and still performing the way he does is incredible. As much as I hate it, because he basically, you know, whimpered his way out of going out of New Orleans and turned into a whole mess. But like, you know, I got to give him credit. He's too damn good. He's friggin' outstanding. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's something else, man. He's able to control the game. He can dish it. He can score it. He can steal. He does all this stuff. He's an absolutely phenomenal player and an all-timer.
I'll give you this much. No matter how this poll plays out, we like to bust each other's balls. One thing I will not be able to accuse you of is pandering for votes with that pick. I can't accuse you of pandering for votes.
Well, I know we don't have a lot of NBA fans listening.
No. It's a good pick. I like the pick,
but I mean, again, maybe it's just my brain because he's at the forefront of my mind. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. We're gonna have a bunch of other famous Chris.
He's one of the best three or four point guards who's ever played basketball.
Right, and you know what?
He's been doing it forever too.
Oh yeah,
high level.
And as far as being a famous Chris, I mean, I don't know. He's a top 10 for me anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, he's a top three for me. So yeah,
absolutely, man. All right, so I got two here. My first one, this one is an easy one. This mm-hmm. would have been in my top three. I had him three overall. Chris Evans was number two, by the way, on my big board. So okay. Like I said, I would have picked him too. It's fucking Captain America. But Chris Farley, man. And yeah. Also, obviously, one of the great tragic stories mm-hmm. of pop culture ever. You know, his life got cut short. This dude's just, oh, my God. Find something he was in and that he didn't make you laugh at. You know, it's just mm-hmm. hilarious. And I like stupid sophomore humor too, obviously. But, you know, Tommy Boy, all these, I could go on and on. And of course, Saturday Night Live, him and Adam Sandler. To mm-hmm. me, that was my favorite era of Saturday Night Live ever. When he was one of the main stars.
That was the absolute best era. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Without question. So I'm going to go Chris Farley, and I'm going to head back to the MCU universe for the next one. Now, Chris Evans would have been my first pick for sure, but I'm going to go Chris Hemsworth. And the reason why Chris Hemsworth, I'm picking him, and straight up, I know it's pretty much only for one role, but of the MCU characters, Thor's been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's really debatable because Captain America is right there too. But Chris mm-hmm. Evans has done other stuff too. By the way, Chris Evans, let me ask you a question, and then I'll circle back to Chris Hemsworth there.
This is a bash on my picks here.
No. Okay. This isn't a bash at all.
Okay.
You ever see the movie, what's it called? Not Another Teen Movie. It's a parody. Chris Evans
incredible.
Was fucking hilarious.
Incredible in that movie.
I love that movie. Loved that movie.
Him and his quick drop-in in Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim is another great one.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like super, that's such a Chris Evans role. I don't think he gets that role without doing Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, honestly. But I agree.
Not Another Teen, those parody movies, satire, like what the parody movies like that. Mm-hmm. They've gotten so bad over the last 10, 15 years. That's one of the last really good ones.
Yeah,
was that I agree. One? Because that was that. Oh my god, that's like piss your pants funny.
with Chris Hemsworth. It's almost like I'm saying, please, everyone go vote for Joe because he took Chris Evans.
I forgot
about that movie because, well, I thought of that because Chris Hemsworth, to me at least, is a one-trick pony, whereas Chris Evans has done other stuff that I've enjoyed. But Chris Hemsworth is Thor, man. Again, that's my favorite character.
Yep.
Dude is obviously stacked. He's built. He's great in action, and he's also really fucking funny. I've seen some of the MCU stuff with him that I haven't included on my binge yet that I'm, you know, writing about and reviewing. But anyway,
you haven't seen his best movie yet.
Hmm?
You haven't seen his best movie yet, so.
No,
I have a feeling when you watch that, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I like him. So that's what I'm going to roll with. We've covered two MCU guys now. Mm-hmm. You're up. You got two.
Well, make it three. Thankfully there's, the MCU universe, the Marvel universe covered the base of the Chris's. Cause I got to pick Chris Pratt. Him as Star-Lord.
This is your night court.
This is my night. Okay. Him as Star-Lord is incredible. Him in, Parks and Rec, just phenomenal.
Andy Dwyer, man.
Mouse Rat, the whole thing. Like those two roles, like those are career making roles. Just those two alone. Then he's in the latest Jurassic Park movies. Jurassic World. You know, he's become like he's the guy in those movies, and it's like, man, like that's, you know, I mean, listen, I get the off-screen stuff. He's kind of a weirdo, and you know, whatever. Everybody in Hollywood's weird. You know, like that's I'm not gonna hold one weird against another, but like, but he's, I mean, his weird's a little bit cringy. Weird, but taking a comic entity like Guardians of the Galaxy, which I don't think tons of people really knew about. Like, I mean, I consider myself pretty savvy in comics. I wasn't very big up on Guardians of the Galaxy, so like to see that and have that, you know, the whole movie play out and turn into like, you know, but I think they're making a third one now, so. The fact that that's, you know, become a big thing is pretty amazing. And he's a major part of that. And, you know, but like, yeah, him as Andy, I mean, geez, big doofus that he was.
I loved Andy. Him on that show.
So good. So yeah, I got to go Chris Pratt. And here's our first one where it's not going to be just known as Chris. And you could probably argue he's not really known as Chris, but. Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I need to talk up Christopher Walken, honestly, because I'm not gonna do a crappy impression of him.
I can't either. I would if I could.
You know, I got it in my head. I don't have the courage to do it on a microphone right now, but because nobody can do it as well as Jay Moore ever did it. But but like Walken, my God, what a. The number of different roles he's had where he is either playing like this maniacal creep or some scary dude or just some goofball. Like this guy has all the range. And
he does.
Man, oh man. Like there's some of his movies, man, where it's just like you forget that he's in it. Like I totally forgot he was in a Bond. He was a Bond villain. Totally forgot about that. Like back in the day, one horror movie or like, thriller movie Prophecy, I should say, terrifying. Like he's terrifying in that
he's
movie.
Done a lot, man.
Yeah, it's just tons of stuff like all through the 80s where it was just like he was just kind of like not under the radar because he was getting tons of like big roles, but man, oh man, such a great actor. I love Christopher Walken.
I'll tell you what, when you said Chris Pratt, I immediately thought a Night Court is a steal. Man, that's going to be, I still like my team, but I feel like I could have put this away.
I should have taken Chris Farley. I think I'd be in a definitive control if I'd taken Chris Farley.
Damn. I'm not happy about Chris Pratt. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan. And by the way, to your point, Guardians of the Galaxy, I've watched the first two because that's part of the chronological order. So I've gotten to see those.
I wasn't sure if you'd seen them yet.
Yeah, I've seen them both. And they were, in fact, Guardians of the Galaxy is, I power ranked the first 17 I've seen. Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one is three. I liked it a lot. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was all right, but I didn't like it nearly as much as I did the first. But anyway, that's a real good pick. All right, so I got my last two here. This will, I'm reaching out to wrestling fans and I guess maybe some metalheads too, but Chris Jericho. I got to pick Chris Jericho. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And at this point with his career, dude, as long as he's been doing it 30 years and he's still a big, big star, he's had some incredible runs. He's reinvented himself time and time again. Mm-hmm. And again, this is me being a wrestling mark right now, talking about Chris Jericho, but whatever. I'm a mark and I love Chris Jericho. And I, you know, I actually kind of like Fozzy a little bit too, which is funny because I am not whatsoever a heavy metal dude whatsoever at all. But I've liked a couple Fozzy songs. So I'm going to go Chris Jericho. And then, you know, I am going to reference back to the graphic. If you're watching this, by the way, on YouTube, which by the way, watch this shit on YouTube and subscribe, like all that fun stuff. Help us grow this channel. But Christopher Reeve, Superman. I mean, what more is there really to say? All these movies and all these superheroes, and whether it's Marvel, MCU, all this other stuff, this is the OG. But to me, anyway, I'm talking about movies. Christopher Reeve as Superman is the first thing that I personally really remember well. And he was great. I mean, it sucked what ended up happening to him and all. But yeah, I mean, again, not a lot of explanation really needed for me.
Yeah,
because quite frankly, I don't know a lot about Christopher Reeve beyond him being Superman, but he's fucking Superman, so that's good enough for me.
I know when you have an iconic role and like you set the standard for everybody, like everybody, like every other Superman movie they've done, they've been like, well, is he as good as Christopher Reeve? And that's even after there were two really shitty Superman movies too. Like Superman 3 and 4 are freaking awful,
whatever,
like,
the one was
horrible movies.
I remember this, Joe, I was a young kid too by the way, but whatever Superman that had Richard Pryor in it as a bad
Superman 3.
All right. I seen that at the movie theater. I actually remember being at the movie theater and seeing it. Yeah, it was shit. But anyway, it's still Superman. It's Christopher Reeve.
I saw Superman 3 on TV and I was like, what the hell is this? Like the thing with the lady turning into like a robot. Like what the, what is happening? I didn't even, like, making Richard Pryor a bad guy. Like get lost. Just stop it.
You got the last pick here.
So there's a lot to pick from here. But I think the guy that I got to settle on, and this again is probably maybe our draft from last week being fresh in my mind, but also one of my favorite movie trilogies of all time being in my mind, and it's Christopher Lloyd. You know, we talked about Taxi last week, but the Back to the Future trilogy is like...
Sure.
Arguably one of the greatest trilogy, you know, set of three movies, Star Wars, whatever, but like those three movies, even with the like Back to the Future 3 being a little bit weird, still great. Like all three of those movies are freaking outstanding. And you know, Christopher Lloyd, I mean, Lloyd's done so many like, you know, smaller role things here and there, where it's just kind of like, oh, wow, yeah, he did that. Oh yeah, he was the voice of it. Like he was in one of the Star Trek films. I think it was Star Trek 3, 2 or 3 he was in. He's going to be in one of the, like, I think he's going to be in like The Mandalorian. I think he's going to be in, or like really? one of the future Star Wars things. He's getting a role in. So like, okay. Like one of the very few handful of guys that's going to get a Star Trek and Star Wars role. But like, you know, as a voice talent, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit as Judge Doom? Holy God, was he terrifying in that. Like what a scary character Judge Doom was. And he, like, that's a role where, like, I don't know that you find anybody else that can own that role without, you know, really getting like some, you know, Oscar level type of person in that. But even then, I don't think anybody plays that as well as Lloyd does. Man, just such a great dude. And like, I don't know that anybody's ever had like a bad thing ever to say about Christopher Lloyd. He just seems to be like universally beloved. So yeah, really likable, love him in everything that he's been in. And yeah, like yeah, I'm not mad at myself. I didn't take him higher.
This is a poll. Well, I'll give my thoughts on it in a minute. I wrote down some other Chris's that neither of us took. And I'll tell you, I'm glad you didn't take this guy. I thought about it and I didn't. And I admit it would have been fishing for votes because he's such a big Bills fan. But Chris Berman is a guy. We could have taken Chris Berman. I think that would have played well in the polls. Neither of us did.
No, you talk about not pandering. That would have been pandering.
That's the anti-Chris Paul pick.
That's pandering, picking Chris Berman. Ultimate degree.
Yeah. All right, Chris Berman. I'm right. I have a list here in front of me. Chris Cornell.
Oh my God.
Chris, for all the Republicans out there, Chris Christie, Chris Weber, basketball player, Chris Isaac, great singer.
Yeah.
Christopher McDonald, who by the way is shooter from Happy Gilmore. Chris Everett, you could have been a girl, tennis player, Chris Everett Lloyd. Chris Chelios, great hockey player. Yeah. Christopher Cross. I'm kind of mad I didn't take him because I don't give a shit how soft his music was. Christopher Cross sailing to this day.
Yacht rock. Yacht rock, man.
So I love yacht rock, bro. That I do. Christopher Cross, I'm kind of mad I didn't take him. Drury.
I'm furious at myself about Chris Cornell. I am so goddamn mad at myself right now.
Chris Drury, former Buffalo Sabre. I think that would have played well.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Columbus, if you want to get historical, I guess.
You want to let me pick one of history's greatest villains, Christopher Columbus. another one that I had in mind when I was saying like they got to be known as Chris or Christopher, or like you know you just can't, like, because one of the other names was Christian, and Christian Bale was fresh in my mind. I was like, I can't. In the best of my minds, I could not take Christian Bale, because has he ever literally been called Chris Bale?
I've never heard.
If I called him Chris Bale, you'd be like, who the hell's that?
Right. I agree. One I did say, and neither of us ended up drafting a character name by Chris or Christopher. Mm-hmm. But one I did think about, and I mentioned this at the beginning, was, you know, would be eligible. Christopher Moltisanti, if you wanted to go Sopranos. I mean, in reality, it's Michael and Perry, but, you know, Christopher Moltisanti is a, I don't know, we'll have to think on that before we do another name one, if that should even be eligible.
Yeah, I don't like character names being in.
Me neither. Fuck that. Vote it down. That's never going to happen. Let's recap who we did take. So I selected Chris Rock, Chris Farley, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Jericho, Christopher Reeve. Joe drafted Chris Evans, Chris Paul, Chris Pratt, Christopher Walken, Christopher Lloyd. I'm going to be completely and utterly honest with you. This is my honest, unbiased take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either team is going to dominate this poll. I would say I would give you the edge 100% for sure, but I'm not sure, although I personally agree with it, I don't know how Chris Paul will play. I think if you would have taken a different Chris instead of Chris Paul, I think you would have been locked city. I think this is going to be pretty close. I would still give you the edge because I think people are going to say your roster's deeper, whereas Chris Jericho, to your Chris that Paul, might not play well. Yeah, it might not play well with non-wrestling fans.
Right.
And plus, they might say, fucking, you got all Steve on. They'll start giving me 10,000 wrestlers who are better than Chris Jericho. So I don't know how that'll play out. So I think there's one on each side that might not play well.
Yeah.
And it comes down to a 4-on-4. We'll see. Chris Rock, maybe the Will Smith thing might help a little bit with Chris Rock, too. I think your roster is a little bit deeper. I'll give you that much.
I don't know. Breaking Chris it Branson down. Steel. Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably. I don't know that he's as likable as Chris Hemsworth. I think that might be a big factor. Obviously, Chris Rock and Chris Farley are big winners for you. But like, I don't know. This is tough. Like, if, you know,
Christopher Reeve's old and he might not resonate either. Christopher Lloyd is more, I think he's still more pop culture relevant than Christopher Reeve. You know what I'm saying? So,
and he was, there was a movie he did with, where he played Bob Odenkirk's dad. It was basically like, Bob Odenkirk, like a version of Falling Down, but like where he's just like this total badass dude. And he's just whooping up on guys. Like these people like keep trying to like cross him and he just beats the crap out of it. What the heck? I forget the name of the movie, But like, I watched that a few weeks ago and like, I was like, holy crap. I was like, what's Christopher Lloyd doing in this? Oh my God. Christopher Lloyd's kicking people's ass now. Like, this is amazing. but like, but yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, Christopher, I don't know. I don't know. This is tough.
That's like, what I'm saying.
At first blush, I was like, I don't know. At first blush, I think you'll get this pretty handily, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we're overthinking it now.
Could be. I would say if this was like hockey or basketball playoffs, I feel like the last 2 weeks, it felt like a 1-8 or maybe a 2-7 at most. This feels like a 4-5. I honestly, I don't know that either side has a clear advantage over the other. It'll be fun though. I look forward to discussing this next week. And again, it's going to be a big week next week. We will be on. Joe and I will be taping this immediately after the NFL draft. So there'll be tons to talk about with that. Of course, Buffalo Sabres play on Thursday night as well. Second last game of the season. We'll talk about that. I don't know. I don't even know if we're going to be able to draft something. There's going to be so much other shit to talk about. We might be having a 3-hour podcast taping at 3 a.m. next week. We'll see how that happens. But everyone, of course, give Joe a follow at Joe Yurden 716. Make sure you check out the Maintenance Day podcast. Joe Yurden, Lance Lazowski.
Wait, who's Joe Yurden 716? Who's that guy? Is that my evil alter ego?
Oh, no, you don't get a 716. No. It's just at Joe Yurden. Yeah. I was thinking of Aaron Quinn 716. Yeah. Man, that's kind of embedded into my head. But anyway.
I now need to create that account. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for doing the pod, bro. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, buddy. Always fun.